The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, listen, we are in a new season of the year, and to talk about this season of the year that's called Lent, I want to talk about last week first. Because I don't know if you remember, but last week we were on a mountaintop. That's where the story took us, to the top of a mountain, and somebody saw Jesus with God as clear as day, and Moses was there, and all these, it was just this mountaintop experience. It was awesome. How many of you have been on top of mountains before, or at least seen? Has anybody been on top of a mountain so high up that there's no trees? Yeah? You know, why is that? Why is there places where there are no trees? Do you know?
Because people are cutting down trees, like to paper towels.
Yeah, you know, they do cut down trees sometimes, but there are some mountaintops where that's not the reason. What is it?
Because of the altitude.
Because of the altitude. Well, what does that mean?
How high up you are.
How high up you are, because at a certain point, this is the reality, you can't. They can't live up there. The trees just can't live up there. And you know what? You would have a really hard time living up there too. It's very hard. So this is the interesting thing. Everybody loves to be on top of a mountain, but we don't live on top of a mountain. So Lent, after seeing Jesus, Lent is coming down from the mountain into the valley. Now, going down into the valley, sometimes that's a symbol of going into areas that's never, not everything's always easy. Sometimes there's dark days. This symbol, this is the color of Lent. It's purple because that's a symbol of death. But another way to look at it is it's also the symbol, this is also in the winter time and ends usually right around springtime. And it reminds us that out of death, like those trees that look like they're dead, and the trees outside especially because... they will come to new life, right? Because the trees come back. They have new life. Not the ones that are cut down. But they'll come to new life. So that's Lent. It's a season where we go into the valley hoping and expecting new life. And the reality is we don't live on the mountaintops. Guess where we live? We live here and in the valleys. That's right. Can you pray with me? Dear God, help me to see how you are with me always, no matter where I am and what I'm doing. Amen. Thank you for coming back up here. You can go back to your seats. And grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It has been a little bit of a valley this week. I was trying to come up with the right words to say today. And all I could say was, I wanted to start by looking at each and every one of you and say, children of God, I want to address you as that because you need to hear that. Children of God, you are loved. And when I look at the senseless violence that happened in Florida, I have to admit I have no words. A lot of me wants to go to another place. Just, I don't want to live in a world with that type of violence. I want to live in a beautiful world, the one that God has made, where no child dies from a gunshot wound, where blood in our schools comes from skinned knees playing a little too hard on the playground. And I find myself a little numb, because it's not the way it's supposed to be. I wish I could protect all those who are hurting, who are dying. It's a struggle with being a pastor. We wish we could just fix, make everything better. But for all of us who are all ministers, all children of God, how do we respond? Well, I start by saying to you, you are set free to be the change in our world. That's the freedom of the Christian. It's that you can focus your life not on self-preservation, but on the world. We've been given this gift so that you can focus your faith not on what you can do to be right with God, but on what you can do to be right with your neighbor. See, there isn't one way to respond. Take this exact moment, an exact issue, for example. You are people of this community, people of this nation. Some will write to their congressmen. I bet some of you already have. Some will organize for change. Some reach out to their neighbor who is hurting more than they are. There are so many ways that we are responding. I wish I knew what to tell you to do, but the fact is you are not helpless, though it sometimes feels like it. And now, I'm not just talking about the shootings of this week, but any number of issues that face our world today. We are empowered as children of God to go. One thing I'm thankful for today is that you are here. You, who are diverse in so many ways, Democrats and Republicans, who may argue on Facebook, and who face a world who disagrees on how to handle problems, who are upset with the world and sometimes with one another. I'm reminded then of Paul's words to the people of Philippi and in Romans as well, when he said to be of one mind in Christ Jesus. My guess is they didn't all agree on everything. What do you think? But he was reminding them that Jesus loved them and their differences and was the God of all of them. And together, they were better. So as some are tired of hearing platitudes from politicians, I want to be careful about what I say now. No, praying alone is not going to make our broken world right again. But neither is any one act, no matter how wonderful. And so we celebrate together being here right now, together in our diversity, together in our different ways to respond, together in our pain, and yes, in our joys. And one thing we can all do is to take some time to focus on our relationship with one another who are right here, both as individuals and together. We can talk about how we can share a loving God with a world that desperately needs it. We can wonder together so that when we hear these words at the end of the worship service, go in peace, serve the Lord, that we actually do just that. That we go and take action in the name of the God that we know. Go out into the world and share the love of Christ Jesus in the way that it should be shared as we see. The God we know, you know, it hasn't always been and isn't always a loving God that's shared in our world, is it? Some of you found that out when you were reading through the Bible a year or two ago with Pastor Lita. We see views in the Old Testament of a God that strikes us as altogether different sometime than the God we know in Christ Jesus. Of course, older than the Old Testament still were views of many gods who warred over our world and made humans the pawns in a cosmic chess match. There were many images of who and what God and the gods were and are. And of course, some of these are still going on today. Sometimes when I'm talking with frustrated Christians, frustrated because they see that other Christian sharing the judgmental God, or that other Christian sharing something that they altogether feel is not what a Christian should be sharing, anything but loving, I remind them, you help us shape the story of God. You, who you are today as a child of God, you shape the story of God that you know through your experience. So go and shape the story to share the word that is Jesus Christ. And more importantly than anything, don't give up on the story. Don't give up on naming who our God is. The story, it matters. And that's what we can concentrate right now on, because when we talk about how the story matters, when we focus on that, we can go and do what we want to do in the world. Take the story of Noah. The story of Noah that we know so well. Long ago and today, people pray to their God for victory over their enemies. They ask for strength to defeat the other. We can hear the Noah story and struggle sometimes because we hear that horrible theme somewhat in there as well. I've struggled personally with the story because of the reality of the destruction that it attributes to God. But this story in Noah, this story that was, I remind you, told long ago as an oral story, perhaps from grandma or grandpa to their granddaughter, grandson. But this story in Noah is trying to tell us a new story in that world that attributes that to God. A new story, a story that changes God. It calls for an end to a response of violence. And it has this radical view that after this story, no longer can we attribute this destruction to God. If that was God before, it no longer will be. You see, the story told changed the story of God. It told the listener that God doesn't cause this, because God has promised that no longer can you attribute this destruction to me. I won't do that. And sometimes I hear, you know, confirmation kids say, Pastor, that's a whole lot of people who did not get on the boat. That's hard. And I say, yeah, I don't like that part of the story, but I remind you that when grandma or grandpa were telling that story, everybody who was listening to the story is on the boat. And everybody who can listen to the story is on the boat. It's a story to tell us that God loves us so. See, in a world that believed that was how God works, it was a story that changed that. It was a new covenant, a new image of God that would be readily visible for all to see. And now I want you to hear that specifically from the words from today's scripture. These are the words. God says, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Think about that. The bow. It was the weapon of the day. The weapon that was a common, violent weapon in that time was being set aside by God. God wasn't going to be using a bow. God would use the bow instead as a sign of peace. And so the bow in this story was transformed to the rainbow. The story tells us that God would not be the one destroying and no longer wanted that attribution of power. And many attributed the most powerful things they could think of to God. This story said, no, I'll take the rainbow here. And when God showed God's bow, it would be a sign against destruction, not for it. Now, it seems the world repeats over and over again. And God, too, keeps repeating over again, God's promise of abundant life. You see, if we turn to Jesus' day, the sign of death, the sign of power, the sign of authority was the cross. It meant order. It meant harsh rule. It meant violence and death. But now, what do you see when you look at that cross? Do you see the new covenant? A new promise that God's love stands higher than all of the powers of this world. That God's love overpowers even death. You do see that. Because you know the story. In this season of Lent, as we journey towards the cross, we have much to do. We have a world that needs us. And we know we are not alone. And we see another sign that God has put before us, transforming our images of cruelty, sin, and death into new and abundant life. Can we take that cross? Can we live that life together in all the ways that we seek to tell the story of God's promise and love in our world? We keep our eyes on the cross as we go into our world, knowing there is pain, knowing there is hopelessness, knowing that in the midst of that, we have a gift that needs to be shared. Keep your hearts and minds in the love of Christ Jesus as you go into the mess of this world, sharing this love boldly, fearlessly, knowing that it overpowers death. Amen.